Our reading today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 8 and read down through verse 13. The topic now is the office of deacons in the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, Paul talks about this work and gives the qualifications for this office. In verse 8, Paul said, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, the word deacon simply means a servant or a minister. As a matter of fact, the word that is translated deacon here is oftentimes in other verses translated a minister or a servant. And so the idea of a deacon is that a deacon is a servant. It's interesting that when you look at the office of elders, that there are three different words used for that office. The word elder, which points to the maturity of the man. The word bishop or overseer, which talks about his work as far as overseeing what other people do is concerned. And then the word pastor, which simply means that he is a shepherd, that he is to shepherd that flock. But in the work of deacons, we find one word, and that one word emphasizes the work that is to be done. That is, they are servants, they are ministers. So deacons are to have a humble, helpful, submissive, cooperative spirit. There's to be no pride, no self-seeking, no glory-hungry people in the office of a deacon. Deacons must have a good work ethic. They have to be dependable. They have to be trustworthy, not lazy. They have to be self-starters. They have to do their job and do it well, and they have to finish what they start. So deacons are to have the cause of Christ at heart. They work for others. They work for the Lord, and they work for eternity. And they must be interested in the church above all else on earth. Now, this is an office in the church. It's not an office of authority. We've already talked about that. It's an office of service altogether, but it is called an office or a position in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible talks about the office of a deacon. So the work of a deacon is an office in the church, and it is a very important office. We'll get to that later in verse 13. But I do want to say at the outset that the work of a deacon is not some kind of glorified slave. He's not just some kind of glorified errand boy. The work of a deacon is an honorable work. It is a respectable work, and it is a high position in the church. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, the passage that we've just read, is the only passage in the Bible that talks about the work of deacons or the position of deacons being an office. That's in verse 10 and also in verse 13. And it's the only passage of Scripture that clearly sets forth the qualifications for deacons. So we're looking at a very important passage here, and we'll get to those qualifications somewhat later. Now then, what I want to do is to begin to look at a few passages that are brought up about deacons. And the first one that I do want to look at is Philippians 1, verse 1. We'll just read this briefly and notice what it says. Philippians 1, verse 1. Here the Bible says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." Now there we have the two offices in the church mentioned. Paul doesn't talk about the qualifications of these men here. He doesn't even describe their work. He just mentions in passing that he is talking to and talking about the bishops and the deacons in the church at Philippi. So the work and the office of deacons and elders in the church was not just some kind of position that Paul set forth for Timothy in the church at Ephesus. It was something that was in the church at Philippi and in all these other congregations where you had men that were qualified. Remember that the Bible says in Acts 14:23 that they ordained elders in every church. So Philippians 1 verse 1 is one of those complimentary passages on this subject. The next passage that I do want to briefly examine is Acts chapter 6, the book of Acts chapter 6, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 1. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. There was an internal strife in the church. There was a church quarrel or problem, and the Bible talks about that in Acts 6, beginning in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there was a disagreement here, and evidently some hurt feelings, because these widows that were Greeks were being neglected. Well, the Bible says in verse 2 that the 12, that is the 12 apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Bible says in verse 5, "The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Now the question that arises is, are these men that were chosen to do this work deacons? Were these men deacons? Were they put in that office? And is this the first example of men being appointed as deacons in the New Testament church? Well, the question to ask here is, does the Bible say that they are deacons? Does the Bible indicate that they were deacons? Well, we don't find the word deacons in here. We don't see that these men are called deacons in this passage. And so the bottom line is, the Bible just does not tell us. They could have been servants in general, or they may have been deacons in the office of a deacon or the office of deacons in the church. We just don't have enough information. And so really, that's a matter of opinion. Oftentimes, this is argued about, it's debated, and people disagree about it. But if the Bible doesn't come right out and say it, and if the Bible does not imply it, then we just don't know. We just don't have enough information. God didn't reveal it in the Bible, and so we just have to leave it there. So it could be that these were deacons in the church, in the office of deacons in the church, or it could be that they were simply servants. They were simply ministering to the needs of these people that are talked about in Acts chapter 6. There's another passage that I do want to look at, and this is a question that is oftentimes raised about deacons, and it's found in Romans chapter 16, the book of Romans chapter 16, and we're going to do some work on the word deacon here itself and what this word means. So let's be ready to turn to some other passages. Let's start in Romans 16, verse 1, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2. In Romans 16, verse 1, Paul said, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer, that is a helper, of many, and of myself also." Now the question is, when the Bible says in Romans 16, verse 1, that Phoebe was a servant of the church, does that mean that she was a deaconess? You may have a note in the margin of your Bible that uses the word deaconess for the word servant here. And if you ask, well, how do they get the word deaconess out of this? Because in the King James, and in many other versions at least, It simply says that Phoebe was a servant. Well, the bottom line to that is that the English word servant here comes from the root word. The word that is translated servant is from the same word that we get the word deacon from in 1 Timothy chapter 3. You see, this word can mean a servant in general, or it can mean a deacon in the church. A deacon is a servant. A deacon is a minister. But a deacon is a special servant. A deacon is a special minister. And so the question is, well, how do we know whether the passage is talking about a servant in general or a deacon in particular? Well, the answer is the context. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, we know that when the Bible uses this word for deacon or servant, we know that Paul is using it in this special sense because he talks about the office of a deacon. But in other passages, that same word is simply used to refer to a servant or a minister in general. You see, the same thing happens with the word elder. Sometimes in the Bible, the word elder refers to an older man in general. It doesn't refer to the office of an elder in the church. It just refers to an older man. There are many passages where the word elder is used in that sense. So how do we know then about the word elder, whether it's used in the sense of an older man in general or whether it's used specially of the office of an elder in the church? Well, it's by the way that it's used. It's by the context. And so in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, when the Bible says that Paul told Titus to ordain elders in every city, and then he comes back in verse 7 and calls them bishops, it's obvious that he's not talking about any older man. He's not talking about older men in general. He's talking about elders in the office of a church. Well, you see, the word for deacon can also mean a servant in general. And unless the context indicates that the writer or speaker is talking about the office of a deacon, then we just take that word to mean a minister or a servant. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm looking at here. If you look back just a little bit earlier in the book of Romans, in Romans 15, notice what the Bible says in verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Here the Bible says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God." Did you know that the word minister there comes from this same word that is translated servant, that is translated deacon? So the Bible says that Jesus was a minister. Now my question is, would anybody say that Jesus is a deacon or that he was in the office of a deacon just because the same word that is translated minister in Romans 15, verse 8, is translated deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3? Well, of course not. Well, for the same reason, Phoebe is not in the office of a deaconess. There is no such office because the Bible simply does not mention it. And remember, the bottom line to this is that Phoebe, a woman, could not have been in the office of a deacon simply because the Bible says that a deacon must be the husband of one wife. So the answer is no. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2 does not teach that Phoebe was in the office of a deacon in the church. Now, in the next lesson, we're going to begin to look at the qualifications for men who will serve in the office of a deacon in the Lord's church.